Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memory of Ram Goldhar, and today we're in Maseches Psachim, Daf Tzadi Vav, the ninth parak, Misha Haya. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Ma ben Pesach Mitzrayim or Pesach Doros. How does the Pesach offering in Mitzrayim differ from the Pesach that we brought throughout the generations? Pesach Mitzrayim Mikhum Basor. The Pesach offering in Mitzrayim was taken on the 10th, Vatan Hazab Agruz Ezov, and required sprinkling of its blood with a bundle of hyssop, and it was upon the lintel and upon the two doorposts, and it was eaten in haste, during one night, whereas the Pesach Chag for generations observed all 7 days. The Gemara asks for the source that the Pesach Mitzrayim has to be designated on the 10th of Nisan, while the Pesach for generations does not. And the Pesach states, Dabru al kol das Yisrael emor basor al chodesh hazeh v'yikhu. Speak to the children of Yisrael, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall take each man a kid. From the word ze, this, we derive ze mikhu mibasor, vein pesach doros mikhu baasor. Its taking must be on the 10th, but the pesach of generations need not be taken on the 10th. The Gemara brings several unsuccessful challenges to this drasha. Point number two, the Gemara brings the drashas that exclude an aro and ben nechar and an apostate from bringing a pesach, and subsequently asks why it was necessary for the Torah to write a prohibition for each one. The Gemara answers that if the Torah had only written an oral, I might have thought Mishum Demais, because he's physically repugnant. But an apostate is not physically repugnant, and therefore not excluded. And if the Torah had only written the prohibition of Ben Nechar, I might have thought Mishum De'en Libo L'Shamayim, because his heart is not directed toward Shamayim. But an oral, whose heart is directed toward Shamayim, I'd say is not disqualified. Therefore, it was necessary to write them both. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that Rabbi Yeshua had heard from his teachers that a tamura of a Pesach is offered as a shlamim, and had also heard from his teachers that it is not offered as a shlamim, but he couldn't explain in which case each ruling applied. Rabbi Akiva said that the teachers were referring to the following case. An animal designated as a Pesach was lost before the Chag, at which point a second animal was designated as its replacement. Now the original animal was subsequently found, and the halacha depends upon when the animal was found. A Pesach, if the original Pesach was found before the Shechita of the replacement, the original one is left to graze until it develops a blemish, is sold, and a Shlamim is bought with its proceeds. The Ken Tamura so, and the same applies to its Tamura. Rashi explains that this means that if the owner took a third animal after finding the original Pesach, before the Shechita of the replacement, and designated it to be the original Pesach's Tamura, the Tamura acquires the same status as the original. It's not offered as a shlamim, but rather its proceeds are used to purchase shlamim. Acher shchita is a pesach, karv shlamim v'ken tmuraso. If the original pesach is found after the shchita of the replacement pesach, it's offered as a shlamim, and so is the rule with its tamura. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Ma ben pesach mitzrayim or pesach doros? How does a pesach offering mitzrayim differ from the pesach that we brought throughout the generations? Pesach mitzrayim mikhu mevasor. The pesach offering mitzrayim was taken on the 10th. The Tan Hazob, good as Ezob, and required sprinkling of its blood with a bundle of hyssop, Ba'amashko, Ba'ashdei HaMezuzos, and it was upon the lintel and upon the two doorposts, Benecho B'chipazon, and was eaten in haste, Ba'layla Echo, during one night. Pesach Doros, Noah Koshiva, whereas the Pesach for generations is observed all 7 days. Now the Gemara asks for the source that the Pesach Mitzrayim had to be designated on the 10th of Nisan, while the Pesach for generations does not, and brings the Pesach, Dabro Kodas Yisrael Eimor, Ba'asor HaChodesh HaZeh B'yichu. Speak to the congregation of Yisrael, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall take each man a kid. From the word zeh, this, we derive zeh mikhu mibasor. Vein pesach doros mikhu mibasor. Its taking must be on the 10th, but the pesach of generations need not be taken on the 10th. The Gemara brings several unsuccessful challenges to this drasha. Point number two, the Gemara brings the drashas that exclude an aro and a ben nechar, an apostate, from bringing a pesach, and subsequently asks why it was necessary for the Torah to write a prohibition for each one. The Gemara answers that if the Torah had only written an aro, I might have thought Mishum Demais, because he's physically repugnant. But an apostate is not physically repugnant, and therefore not excluded. If the Torah had only written the prohibition of a ben nechar, I might have thought that Mishum De'en Libo L'Shamayim, because his heart is not directed toward Shamayim. But an aro, whose heart is directed toward Shamayim, I would say is not disqualified. Therefore, it was necessary to write them both. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Rabbi Yeshua had heard from his teachers that a tamura of a pesach was offered as a shlamim, and had also heard from his teachers that it is not offered as a shlamim, but he could not explain in which case each ruling applied. Rabbi Akiva said that the teachers were referring to the following case. An animal designated as a pesach was lost before the chag, at which point a second animal was designated as its replacement. The original animal was subsequently found, and the halacha depends upon when the animal was found. HaPesach Shanim Sekodim Shechita is a Pesach. If the original Pesach was found before the Shechita of the replacement, Yireh Ad Shistaev, Yimachiv Yavi B'dam of Shlamim. The original one is left to graze until it develops a blemish, is sold, and a Shlamim is bought with its proceeds. V'ken Temur so. And the same applies to its Temur. Rashi explains that this means that if the owner took a third animal after finding the original Pesach, before the Shechita of the replacement, and designated it to be the original Pesach's Temura, the Temura acquires the same status as the original. It's not offered as a Shlamim, but rather its proceeds are used to purchase a Shlamim. Acher Shechita is a Pesach, Karav Shlamim, Veken Temura. So if the original is found after the Shechita of the replacement Pesach, it's offered as a Shlamim, and so is the rule with its Temura. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Daf Tzadi Vav, and this Siman comes to us by way of Shalom Fried from Woodmere, New York, who suggested Tzav is a town crier announcing the Tzivuim, the proclamations of the king. So a town crier, so here goes. As the town crier joyfully announced how this Pesach was to be observed differently than the Pesach in Mitzrayim, and the Oral and Ben Nechar, who were not permitted to participate, observed the guy who had found his lost Pesach now standing in front of three lambs and looking really confused. Once again, it's emotion. As the town crier, that must be more Daf Tzadi Vav. As the town crier joyfully announced how this Pesach was to be observed differently than the Pesach in Mitzrayim, which reminds us, the next Mishnah stated, Ma ben Pesach Mitzrayim o Pesach Toros, how does the Pesach offering Mitzrayim differ from the Pesach that we brought throughout the generations? So Pesach Mitzrayim was taken on the 10th, it required sprinkling its blood with a bundle of hyssop, it was upon the lintel and upon the two doorposts, and it was eaten b'chipazon, in haste, during one night. And Pesach Toros is no koshiva, whereas the Pesach for generations is observed all 7 days. The Gemara then provides the source that the Pesach Mitzrayim has to be designated on the 10th of Nisan, while the Pesach for generations does not. So as the town crier joyfully announced how this Pesach was to be observed differently than the Pesach in Mitzrayim, and Aron and Ben Necher, who were not permitted to participate, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the drushes that exclude an Aron and Ben Necher, an apostate, from bringing a Pesach, and subsequently asks why it was necessary for the Torah to write a prohibition for each one. The Gemara answers that if the Torah had only written Aron, I might have thought Mishum Demais, because he's physically repugnant. But an apostate is not physically repugnant, and therefore not excluded. And if the Torah had only written the prohibition for a Ben Necher, I might have thought Mishum De'en Libo L'Shamayim, because his heart is not directed towards Shemayim. But an Aron, whose heart is directed towards Shemayim, I would say is not disqualified. Therefore, it was necessary to write them both. So as the town crier joyfully announced how this Pesach was to be observed differently than the Pesach in Mitzrayim, and Aron ben Necher, who were not permitted to participate, observed the guy who had found his lost Pesach now standing in front of three lambs and looking really confused. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Rabbi Yeshua had heard from his teachers that a tamur of a Pesach is offered as a shlamim, and had also heard from his teachers that it is not offered as a shlamim, but he couldn't explain in which case each ruling applied. Rabbi Akiva said the teachers were referring to the following case: an animal designated as a Pesach was lost before the Chag, at which point a second animal was designated as its replacement. The original animal was subsequently found, and the halacha depends on when the animal is found, whether it's before the Shechita of the replacement or after. And then in each case, the owner took a third animal after finding the original Pesach and designated it to be the original Pesach's Temura, in which case the Temura acquires the same status as the original. So once again, as the town crier joyfully announced how this Pesach was to be observed differently than the Pesach in Mitzrayim, and Aron ben Necher, who were not permitted to participate, observed the guy who had found his lost Pesach now standing in front of three lambs and looking really confused. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazorah. Gav Tzadi Beis, the Simfer Gav Tzadi Beis is a Tzav, a turtle. So here goes. The Onan who is going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles. Turtles? That must be more Daf Tzadi Beis, Tzav. The Onan who is going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, which reminds us, the next mission at the bottom of Daf Tzadi Alpha and Beis states that an Onan immerses and eats his Pesach after nightfall on the day of the death of his close relative, but may not partake of other kachman that night. And the Gemara asks what the reason is for permitting to eat the Pesach but no other kachman. The answer is, Kasabra Aninas Dalayo de Rabbanin. It's because our Mishnah holds that the state of Aninus on the night following the death is only the Rabban. So in the case of the Pesach, the Rabban did not establish the Gezerah in the face of a mitzvah, which carries with it a penalty of Karas. But in the case of other Kachim, where eating them is only a mitzvah zaseh, they did establish their Gezerah. So the Onan, who was going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, felt bad that the Ger who converted hours earlier couldn't join him. which reminds the Mishnah states that a ger sheni nisgar be'erev Pesach, a ger converted on erev Pesach, Beisham may say that he may immerse and eat his Pesach that night. And Beis Hillel says a porch min orla could porch min a kever. One who separates from his orla is as one who separates from the grave. Rashi explains that he must go through the purification process of waiting 7 days and having hazad done on the 3rd and 7th day. Rabbi Baruchan had said in the Rabbi Yochanan that Malchus was only regarded to an oral Nachri who converted erev Pesach. Beis Hillel hold, they enacted this decree, lest in the coming year he becomes tummy from a mace, and he'll say to himself, did I not immerse last year on erev Pesach and eat of the Pesach despite being exposed to the tomb of a mace? Now too, I'll immerse by day and eat the Pesach by night despite being a tummy mace. And he'll not realize that in the previous year he wasn't subject to tumas a mace, because he was a Nachri. Beis Shammai say they did not enact this decree. They do agree that in all Yisrael that had meal erev Pesach, immerses and eats the Pesach at night. So the Onan, who was going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, felt bad that the ger converted hours earlier couldn't join him, and didn't know if his doing shchita and zrika for his friend stuck on a distant road would exempt his friend from a Pesach Sheni. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas and Marayim in a case where one was on a distant road too far to arrive in time to shecht the Pesach himself, and others shechted it and did zrika zadam on his behalf. Rav Nachman says, Hurtza, acceptance of the Pesach is affected, and he's patur from bringing a Pesach Sheni, and Rav Sheshes says, Lo Hurtza, acceptance is not affected, and he must bring a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara explains that according to Rav Nachman, who holds Hurtza, acceptance is affected, because the Torah simply took pity on him for not being able to reach Yerushalayim in time, and offered him a second chance, but if he did manage to participate in the first Pesach, by having someone shechted for him, Tabo Lavracha, let him be blessed. Rav Sheshes, who holds Lo Hurtza, acceptance is not affected, holds that the Torah barred him from the first Pesach, just as it barred a Tameh from the Pesach. The Gemara continues with each Amora bringing support for his position. Dav Tzadi Gimel. So the Simver Dav Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. The Pesach Sheni train. Train? That must mean we're on Dav Tzadi Gimel. The Pesach Sheni train full of passengers eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, which reminds us of the three-way machlokes regarding the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Rebbe holds one is chayiv kares for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Rishon and is similarly chayiv for not bringing the Pesach Sheni. Rebbe Nassan holds one is only chayiv for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Rishon, and Rebbe Chananya ben Akavya holds one is not chayiv kares even for the first Pesach unless he deliberately did not offer the Pesach Sheni either. So the Pesach Sheni train full of passengers, eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, starts singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim with the case of a ger that converts between the two Pesachs and the boy who became a bar mitzvah between them. Rebbe holds their chayiv to bring a Pesach Sheni because Sheni regel b'fnei atzmahu. Pesach Sheni is an independent regel, whereas Rebbe Nassim holds they're not chayiv since the Sheni is a tashlumin of the Rishon. So the Pesach Sheni train full of passengers eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, started singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy, who boarded the train at Modi'in. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, what's the measure of a derech rechoka, a distant road, meaning how far need one be from the base of Migdash to be deferred to Pesach Sheni? So Rabbi Kiva says, from the town of Modi'in and beyond, or a similar distance in any direction, Rabbi Gezer says, Mi'iskupas ha'azorah v'lechutz, from the threshold of the Azorah and beyond. Now Ula and Rabbi Yehuda disagree as to how far Modi'in is from Yerushalayim. Ula said, what's the definition of a distant road? Wherever he's so far that if he set out at noon, he'll not be able to arrive during the shechita, meaning that he'll not arrive before nightfall. Rav Yehuda said the definition is wherever he is so far that if he sets out at noon, he'll not even be able to arrive during the time of eating the Pesach, which is much later. This would mean Modin is further away, according to Rav Yehuda. Dav Tzadi Dala. So the Simver Dav Tzadi Dala is a hunter, Tzad. So here goes. The hunter, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadi Dala. The hunter stuck on the road erev Pesach with his hunting gear and family, loaded up on wagons, which reminds us that a Braisa said that the determining factor regarding being chayiv is if one is on a distant road. If one was beyond Modi'in but he could race to get to the Azara, he would be patur because he was on a distant road. If he was within the perimeter defined by Modi'in but could not get there because he was slowed down due to his wagon loaded up with his family, he would be chayiv. He's not considered an onus since he should have gone on his own to shecht. So the hunter stuck on the road erev Pesach with his hunting gear and family loaded up on wagons had no idea he was standing on top of the massive pot covered to Gehenim, which reminds us Rava's calculation for the compass of the sun being 6,000 parsa'os was refuted by a braisa that stated Mitzrayim is 400 parsa long by 400 parsa wide, and Mitzrayim is only 1/60th the size of Cush, and Cush is only 1/60th the size of the world, and the world is only 1/60th the size of Gan Eden, and Gan Eden is only 1/60th the size of Eden, and Eden is only 1/60th the size of Gehenim. Nisa kol am kulo kikisui katero Gehenim. It's thus found that the entire world, in comparison to Gehenim, is like a pot cover compared to a pot. If the world is 60 times larger than Mitzrayim, and therefore far larger than 6,000 parsa'os, the compass of the sun must be even larger. So the hunter stuck on the road Erev Pesach with his hunting gear and family loaded up on wagons, had no idea he was standing on top of the massive pot-covered Teganim, where a silly little emperor below was jumping up and down, claiming he would reach the heavens. Which reminds us, the bus calls response to Nebuchadnezzar, who said he would ascend to above the clouds and liken himself to the Most High, was that he was a fool, given the 500-year distance to the first Rekia, the 500-year distance to go through the Rekia, and the subsequent journeys through all seven Rekias and the areas in between. Daf Sadihei, so the Zimmer Daf Sadihei is a Tzahal tank commander. So here goes. That tank was messing with chametz as the commander. Tank, commander, that must be one Daf Sadihei. The tank was messing with the chametz as the commander and his crew ate their Pesach Sheni, sitting in silence. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that the Pesach Sheni differs from the Pesach Rishon, in that a person may have chametz in his home, and that challah is not required at the time that it's being eaten. The Gemara brings a brace that gives us sources for how we know that the Pesach Sheni only has mitzvahs that are intrinsic to it, or at least peripheral to it, such as eating matzah and maror with it. So the tank was messing with the chametz as the commander and his crew ate their Pesach Sheni, sitting in silence and not singing challah, which reminds us the Mishnah stated that the first Pesach requires challah to be recited with it as it's being eaten. The Gemara asks for the source of this, and Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok, the Pesach states, Hashir Yelechem Kalel Yiskadesh Chag. The song shall be for you like the night of the festival's consecration. This implies that only a night that is consecrated as a chag, such as the night when the first Pesach is eaten, requires challah. The Mishnah said that challah is recited as well when the Pesach Sheni is offered, and the Gemara provides two reasons. The first is that the Pesach only excluded a night that is not consecrated as a chag, but didn't exclude a day that is not consecrated as a chag. And the second is brought in a braisa, Efshe Yisrael shochni es bischem v'notin es luven. Is it possible that Yisrael would shech their Pesachs or take hold of their lulavim and not recite Hallel? So the tank was messy with the chametz as the commander and his crew ate their Pesach Sheni, sitting in silence and not singing Hallel, as one of their tummy crew members looked on, looking hungry. Which reminds the Gemara brought a braisa where there's a Malkokas Tanakama Rebuta where the Pesach Sheni is also Docha Tuma. The Tanakama holds that it is not Docha Tuma based on the reasoning I deferred into Pesach Sheni because of Tuma. So shall he now offer the Pesach Sheni itself in a state of Tuma? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda reasons, the Torah sought to have him offer it in a state of Tahara, and therefore had him deferred. But since he wasn't Zochah to do so, let him at least offer it in a state of Tumah. Now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos Nerevin. Number 1. Which Daf do you learn that the entire world in comparison to Gehenim is like a pot cover compared to a pot? That's on Daf Sadi Dal. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do you learn Malkokas Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda whether Pesach Sheni is Docha Tumah or not? That's on Daf Tzadi Hey. Good. Number 3. Which Daf do you want to have Rabbi Akiva clarified from Yeshua the two cases of the Tumuras of Pesach? That's on Daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Number 4. Which Daf do you want to have Hallel is only sung on the night of Pesach Rishon when the carbon is eaten and on Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni when the carbon is brought? That's on Daf Tzadi Hey. Good. Number 5. Which Daf do we have a Machokas? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Glezer, where the Derech Rechoka is from beyond Modi'in or from outside the Azora? That's on Daf Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which Daf did we learn that there is one that holds that the Malchokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe regarding monies from the Pesach is whether one can buy matzah and maror with it? That's on Daf Tzadi. Good. Number 7. Which Daf did we learn one can have chametz around when bringing the Pesach Sheni? That's on Daf Tzadi Hey. Good. Number 8. Which Daf did we learn the differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros? That's on Daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have in Machlokas Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes whether Shechita and Zricha done on behalf of someone stuck on a distant road will exempt him from a Pesach Sheni? That's on Daf Tzadi Beis. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn why the Torah wrote the prohibition for participating in the Pesach for both the Aral and the Ben Nechar? That's on Daf Tzadi Vav. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that rain does not acquire Makom Shvisa in the clouds? That's on Daf Memhei and Erevin. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do we learn about Elisha Balkanafayim? That's on Daf Mem Tes and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which Daf do we learn that Kodesh Baruch Hu resides in the Dalet Amos of Halacha? That's on Daf Ches and Brachos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.